Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
There is a sandwich in my purse.
Welcome to Set Meals, a weekly food show about the moments that surround mealtimes. I'm Samuel Ashton.
And I'm Taylor Fawcett.
If you're new to Set Meals, a food show created to satisfy our urges for burrata, mango sorbet and lamb kofta, here we are, warts and all.
If you're not new around here, thanks for sticking around. This week, it's bloody Valentine's Day, the most heartfelt and genuine of all the holidays, and we're back again for 30 minutes of sexy food chat to celebrate.
We're not, though, are we?
No, not really.
Last week, we chatted about Taylor's exploits, hanging out of Los Angeles' finest taco trucks.
Can I get three fish, a pastor, and a Brussels sprout, please?
And the absolute sacrilege that is Pizza Hut's latest KFC mashup.
Pizza Hut on Deliveroo? Or Uber?
No, I think Pizza Hut is...
So sit back, relax and indulge in Set Meals Season 3, Episode 11.
The penultimate episode of the tricky third series.
Let's get into the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Here we are.
Hi.
As live.
As live, baby. We started doing as live pods because we're pros now.
Because we can only find 30 minutes a week to do this.
Amen. Straight into the news. Padella have opened the tricky second album. They've done it. Shoreditch.
It's open.
Open.
Opens. I didn't know that.
No, live.
Now?
I think it opens tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
If you listen to this, it opens today. I think it's open today or tomorrow.
Wednesday, weird day.
Wednesday,
Have they done a soft launch, hard launch type of thing?
Have we been invited?
Absolute bullshit.
Probably not. It's on Phipps Street in Shoreditch. It's a fucking bigger site, apparently.
Where is Phipps Street?
You know the car wash, which is also the multi-story car park?
Yes.
I think it's around the corner. Oh, you know where the really bougie place that Ben goes?
The Curtain.
Yes.
Doesn't go there anymore.
I think it's near there. Why?
Goes to Shoreditch House instead.
Fair. Near there, bigger site, Padella, same stuff, pasta. That's
hey,
it.
Hey, good
basically.
For me.
Good for you.
Going to London Bridge doesn't happen that often.
No.
And also, maybe less of a queue. Maybe same of a queue.
Nah,
Gloria always has a queue.
Because if I was to say, probably a bigger queue. Because it's going to be a big site and it'll be more seats and more people like you thinking, maybe I'll get a seat.
Hopefully, all the amateurs will be around the corner at Dinorama.
Yes.
While we're front of the queue, Padella.
Amen. That's not happening. It's going to be rammed. Okay. Another big opening news this week.
Talk about the openings this week.
Oh, we opening, baby. Jolene, much famed, trendy, hip, very sort of low-key, you weren't that impressed.
No, was very
bakery.
Impressed, but got put off by the bone marrow because it was before I liked it.
Yeah, fair. Jolene is
like an abattoir.
Newington Green, not going to disagree with that, is on Newington Green. It's a bakery, restaurant, vibe, same people who own Weston's Laundry and, what's the other one, Premier. They are opening...
And,
what?
Sorry, there's a place down in Cornwall as well, right?
Yeah, Fitzroy, I think it's called.
Mm.
I don't know where they're getting their money from, but they're doing something right, because they've just announced they're opening Big Joe in Hornsey, which is just down the road from the Emirates, on a really weird stretch of road, which is kind of like an old estate, like a council estate, and it's just like a unit. It looks like it should be a news agent or a post office in a council estate in like the middle of Manchester. It's a very odd unit. But they're basically opening this place called Big Joe, which is going to have grain. The article on Eater says it's going to have grain silos, flour mills, pizza ovens, and a small fermentation lab for drinks.
Sounds very...
ballsy. And that is going to then feed 10 new sites around the city. Small sites. Over the next 24 months.
Oh, so that'll be like a sort of central hub.
Yeah. I imagine that's going to be like the bakery and they just like send all their produce out from it.
Maybe like a sort of crosstown donut kind of situation.
Yeah.
Where it's all made in one place, but then actually they just completely take over.
Very possibly.
Do you remember when that happened?
Yeah.
Crosstown donuts just sprung up out of nowhere.
Fucking and absolutely killed it.
Yeah.
The other one that they did that was that Donut Time. Donuts, man. What was it with donuts? The turquoise Donut Time place. There's one in Angel. There's one in...
Sorry, who did that?
Donut Time.
Yeah, but... Oh, you said the other one. I thought you said they did.
No, the other one.
The other one at Donut Time. Yeah.
Yeah. Odd. Very odd. It comes up from nowhere.
If you said to just general people, hey, in a couple of years' time, you're going to be paying about £4 for a donut. You'd be like, no, I'm not. No, I can get 5 donuts from Sainsbury's for £1 in a bag, and I can eat them all, and I can't feel guilty about it.
I was going to say, where's your favourite donut from? But I know you're going to say Sainsbury's.
Yeah, Sainsbury's.
Jam.
5-pack jam.
Raspberry jam.
Every day.
Yeah.
Seconded. Actually, different product to the St. John jam donut.
St. John's good though, isn't it? That's top of my list. Only because I don't like donuts that much. I'd say donuts are the same bracket as hot dogs for me, because I don't love hot dogs, but when I fancy it, get right involved. But I would never go like, oh, I'll have a donut today and be like taunted because I want them all the time. It doesn't really work like that in my brain.
Not like
a chocolate hobnob. Which I could eat every single fucking day
until
the day I die. Yeah, and I don't really like biscuits that much. But hobnob really fucking tickles me.
I never see you as a snacker, a sweet snacker.
I have been recently. Do you know what I've had for breakfast last 2 mornings in a row? Cinnamon Grahams.
Mate.
With semi-skimmed milk. Cow's milk. Cow's milk. Because why not?
Well, I bought a box of Cheerios on Friday and I finished them already.
Yes!
With a whole carton of Oatly whole milk.
Wow, really?
So, here we go, on a tangent.
Fine.
As live. Oatly whole milk.
Yes.
Tom saw it in the studio and said, oh, whole milk, eh? And sort of judged me. But I thought, what's the difference between Oatly whole milk and Oatly normal milk? I'm like, it's nut juice. So, do they put more fat in it?
I have no idea how that works.
Because isn't whole milk, when it's cows, they take, like, skimmed and semi-skimmed, they take some of the fat out, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But
I don't
whole,
really know.
Do they take fat out of the oats? Is there any
ever
fat
since
in oats?
I read, you know, Ugly Drinks?
Yeah.
The guy who owns that, Hugh,
yeah.
I follow him on Instagram, and he posted this thing on his stories a few weeks ago about the amount of sugar in oat milk and how your body breaks down sugars, like the glycemic index or whatever the fuck it's called. It's probably not called, it's almost certainly not called that, but there's like a band of how your body works with the sugar you put into it, basically, and it was comparable to like Coke, basically.
Oat milk?
Yes.
So you literally can't win.
Can't win. Anyway, next thing. Oscars happened this week. You love the Oscars. We've already touched on that.
Yes, fine. Yes, I love the Oscars.
You also went to see the most talked about Oscar film of the year without me yesterday. Fucking bullshit. And we went to dinner together yesterday and you sacked me off for your girlfriend. Pathetic. To go and see Parasite, how was it?
It was so good.
Was it worth the hype?
Oh, it's worth the hype and more.
Did you sit down thinking...
I happily have watched it twice more today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is it comedy thriller, right? That's how I saw it described earlier.
Basically, list every genre you've ever heard of.
Mm-hmm.
It's in that.
Ah, amazing.
Like, the first... I'm not going to ruin it for you or for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
All I will say is the first... act
mm-hmm.
felt like I was watching like a really good Korean cheaper by the dozen type film.
Wow,
like,
really?
Like comedy. It's funny, but like a bit silly.
Didn't
and a bit funny.
Like that.
No, nor did I. And once you get to the end, you're like, oh, it wasn't like that at all.
Yeah.
But you know when you're watching it, and I was sat there thinking, I'm really enjoying this, and this is pretty funny, and
yeah.
it's kind of weird,
yeah.
but why did it win an Oscar?
What's going on? Yeah.
Not like yeah. it was bad or good, but I was like, it's just not very Oscar-y.
Yeah.
But then basically it doesn't like flip, but it goes between all the different genres like mm-hmm. very, very quickly. And like, the thing that made me love that was the music. The music in it is like...
Oh, I'm going to go and see it.
Yeah, you have to go and see it. You go and see it with Jess, and then we'll go and see it together
okay.
with like a few bottles of Cass that we'll
yes.
import from Korea
yes.
for probably about 25 quid a case.
100%.
And then... Some fried chicken, Korean fried chicken before,
mm-hmm.
and some Korean fried chicken afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. There's actually, this isn't actually just like a bad segue, but genuinely, there's a lot of food. It's generally kind of about class divides. This isn't a spoiler because if you see the trailer or anything, you kind of get that.
Mm-hmm.
And they use food. I was reading the Guardian review of it last night, and until afterwards, I didn't realize how much they use food as like a social indicator.
Right. Okay.
Like there's scenes where the poor family are drinking a certain brand of beer and the rich family are drinking Sapporo because Sapporo is like a really high quality import from Japan and Korea. So you like...
Interesting.
There's a lot of food cues actually.
I read an article on The Guardian today about a Galician crisp manufacturer.
Right.
That absolutely just like started booming basically off the back of that film because it guest featured.
Yeah, I think I know the scene you mean with the crisps.
Yeah, there's like they look to be like tinned crisps.
Yeah.
They're called Bonilla a la Vista.
Okay.
And the man on the article looks like a very delightful Spanish man. Very old, looks like, honestly, like he's just happy as Larry, and he's gone on his Instagram one day and he's just getting fucking inundated with like Korean fanboys like loving his crisps. I love the idea of it. It's very enjoyable.
The production design is exceptional.
Is it?
Like, considering the whole house is a set as well.
Oh, is it actually?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, I didn't know that.
Which is all the more impressive when you watch it knowing that. Like, I knew that and was like, this is insane.
Is it all set in the house?
No.
Okay.
A lot of it, but... So, like, they would have... I mean, obviously, with any films with props and stuff, they have control anyway, but it's like, when you know how much control... Because they weren't limited by it being an existing building, it's almost more impressive, like, the amount of detail and stuff in it.
Sick.
Because, like, I mean, you just have to go and see it, because then we can talk about it. Maybe you should go see it, and then we'll just do, like, a 30-minute review of it next episode.
Let's do it. A play-by-play, a director's commentary, even though we're not directors.
While we're on the Oscars thing,
yes.
Did you see that little girl that took a sandwich to the Oscars in her bag?
I saw loads of like clickbaity like memes and stuff, but I didn't really know what the sort of...
Have you seen the video?
No.
I'll send you the video.
Okay.
It's funny. Like, everyone's obviously getting interviewed, and you know, like, I always find it funny when you see like lesser famous people being interviewed, or like, and it's like on like a phone clip or whatever, and in the background it's just like Brad Pitt, but in like a phone clip.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, he's just kind of there, and he doesn't. It's not the front on like talking head interview. I find that quite funny. But no. So she's there, and she's she apologizes. It's just turkey sandwich.
What's she doing? Is she eating it? What's she doing?
No, she just has it in a little. So she's got a like big sort of pink like princess looking dress on,
right?
And she looks really cute. She's I think she's like 12.
But I only have light objects. I travel lightly.
Come on.
There is a sandwich in my purse because I was smart this time. The other awards, I was hungry, I was starving, and sometimes either they don't have food or I don't care for the food.
Can I ask you, how old are you?
10 years old. I'm turning 11 April 15th.
Wow, you're a grown 10.
It's exciting.
Funny. Very culturally aware for a 12-year-old.
Very. But also a bit terrifying, that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
'Tis Valentine's Day tomorrow.
Valentine's Day is fake news.
It's fucking bullshit, isn't it? Let's make that abundantly clear.
I love my girlfriend equally every day of the year.
Good. Sign that off. That's done. When I was trying to sort of scribble together ideas for this show, I thought, how are we going to bring in Val Day without going on a sort of like a really romantic dinner time? And this is the best idea I come up with. So what's your idea? What's your ideal date? We did kind of last night. It was beautiful, bro.
How do we talk about Valentine's Day when one of us thinks it's total bullshit and the other one does too, but like secretly wants to like it? That's you.
Me?
Yeah.
Nah.
Are you going out for Valentine's Day?
No.
Well, fine. Maybe we both think it's bullshit.
What is your ideal Valentine's Day? No, date. Not necessarily Valentine's Day. Because your ideal Valentine's Day is literally like doing nothing and eating chicken wings on your own in a dark room. So what is...
No, as I said, I love my girlfriend equally every day of the year. It's my ideal Valentine's Day.
What's your ideal date?
It's any time of the year.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be February specific.
Just date night. No, date night.
Pub?
Wait, firstly, it needs a drink element, a dinner element, and an activity element.
Well, what if I don't want to do any of those?
All right, fine.
As it happens, I do.
Okay, fine.
It's quite a specific
pub. Mm.
And maybe like being shown a pub that I don't know.
Interesting.
I like a bit of like a new space. I think a good date. Is this existing date with current girlfriend or general date?
Do you know
vibe?
What? I'm going to say no, because I feel like a date becomes a different thing when you've been with your girlfriend for a long time.
Yeah, true.
Because you both go to the same places and you like the same things.
Yeah, because to be fair, you could go back somewhere that we really like and it could still be really good, but maybe that's not as interesting. Okay, so
neither of us have been on a first date in, honestly, about 7.5 years. So, you know, I don't know if dates have changed in that time.
What's a date?
Exactly, good.
Okay, so just general. Yeah. I think, for example, if Ness was going to take me on a first date now, I think probably pub, and she's picked a pub. That she'd like, what I want is it to be like fairly new ground for both people,
right?
Because it gives you like something to talk about and it's just a bit more interesting. But maybe like they've been there once before, or like they've been there in a group and they sort of thought, oh, this would be quite a good place to like come for a beer with someone. Because otherwise, you might end up in a shit pub. Which, to be fair, as someone that's had our mutual friend has had his first date in Wetherspoons and we all paid for the drinks,
yeah, true,
it could be a good vibe anyway. Pub, then like. Do you know what I actually really like, and I think you're going to judge me for? An arcade?
Ah, fucking dead. It's dead.
It's a bit Skins, isn't it?
Fucking very Skins.
Do you know what, Nessa's going to listen. She's going to be
imagine how loud that is. Imagine the acoustics. What's your dinner element?
So what I want to do late dinner.
Right, okay.
I want to do like a 9 o'clock sit down. Because you know me, we'll have had like 2 pints at least, maybe 3 in the pub before, and I would have had at least 2 packets of crisps with that, because I love crisps.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those crisps last night. I can't wait to talk about them. Yeah. Then some sort of activity. You've shat on my arcade idea, but frankly, bowling is shit. I quite like playing pool, but it's just, I don't know if that's a good vibe. And board games are enjoyable, but I don't know if a first date, because like,
nah.
Get quite into it.
Nah.
Okay, pub, late dinner.
Yes.
Skip the activity.
Nice.
Pasta,
mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And sharing vibe. Because you've got to lay down those ground rules straight away.
Yeah, fair. I agree with all that.
Share.
Nice.
And then coffee to finish the meal. And then mugs.
A couple of margies. All right, nice.
Basically like a night out of you, mate.
Yeah, yeah, we've done that loads of times. I'm going wine bar. Because if I drink lager, I get a bit like very quickly pissed.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry, I changed mine. Wine bar.
I'm going wine bar, white wine, not red wine.
Right? Yeah.
Stay there for ages and get really pissed unintentionally because your chat is so good.
Yep. Are you having some small plates or are you just
probably
just
some olives.
Yep.
Because I feel like olives are picky enough and messy enough for a first date where you can like, it's a bit like, you're sucking them and you're fucking trying to get the pip out, whatever. So they're fine. And then I'm going straight to dinner, straight after wine.
Yeah.
Because...
you hate organised fun.
Because I've written my notes, I hate organised fun. So I'm going straight to dinner. I'm going somewhere... If I'm really pissed and they're really pissed, I feel like...
It's time to go home.
No, yeah. It's you can go messy food. You can go like... Good example, Smoking Goat, where nice place, good food... Bit messy, bit spicy, but you already feel a bit gross and pissed anyways, and we care.
Mm.
And I feel like that immediately, like, you've had a good night. You've had a good time, fucking barriers are down, it's all good. It's all good fun. Rather than then trying to go out for a really bougie meal and trying to rein it in and then like ruining the vibe, I think you got to go straight in the flow. Live life, baby. That's the date. We went out on a date last night. We'll get to that in the second half of the show.
Easy there, especially when I live on top of a cliff.
Okay.
It's usually windy, especially in the evening time. So Sunday for me was okay.
It was like homecoming for you.
Yeah, a normal way.
Nice.
But in London, yeah. That wind.
Oi, oi!
Peter!
I got indirectly recommended by Nick. Here we fucking go. I got recommended by Nick from Quality Wines indirectly because it was on his Instagram story, and he said this is really good. So I thought it looks really good. So I thought down the road from studio, we're really busy. Doesn't sound like us. We're really busy. Let's go there. Let's see what it's like. Plus, in my head, I thought Valentine's Day episode, Lady and the Tramp, Italian food, romance. Let's go for Italian food. Bang, pizza, baby. Not pasta in sight, but you know. It's fine. That's from how my brain worked.
I quite like that little insight into your brain.
Yeah, that was it, baby.
Makes the whole thing a little bit weirder, to be honest, but yeah. That's fine.
Number 67, Newington Green Road, Mildmay Ward. Weird address.
Yes, bit of a transport black hole.
Yeah, it really is. I've lived around... Well, this is funny. I lived, honestly, 4-minute walk from the restaurant for the entire time I've lived in London. Never once gone. Move across town.
No, you've moved first week.
Six, fuck off. Yeah, we went. It was fucking cold outside.
So you say it's not trendy. It's trendy if it was in Turin.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
Because for me, as soon as we walked in, even from the outside, to be honest, it's like the sort of place that you see in Italy that they've tried to make it more appealing to people from UK, Germany, America.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Basically people that they've...
Let's make this more accessible.
Yes, yeah, catering to... Just as a British restaurant might try and make something more Italian.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess they're trying to make it more...
There was a bike on the ceiling, for example.
Yeah.
With some sort of like dried leaves in the basket.
There was a sign in the toilets that said, Men to the left, because women are always right.
Wow. That is aged badly, isn't it, that sign?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, I think I said to you last night, in any other restaurant, I would be deeply offended by any wooden sign with writing on it.
Yeah, correct.
But last night, I didn't mind it.
You were enjoying it. You enjoyed it. You liked it.
It really fit into the overall theme.
I walked into the restaurant. You were locking your bike up.
Mm.
I walked in, forgot to hit record on the recorder at this point. So that's a shame because the exchange was audio gold.
Oh, it's the end of the season.
Walked in, Samuel. I was like, do you know my name? I was like, what is going on? He was like, Samuel. I was like, yes, it's my name. How the fuck do you know my name?
Do you listen?
He was like, two people? I was like, I'm not even with anyone at this point. You're still outside, so I haven't got a clue how you know my name and that you know I'm with another person.
And you've not booked?
Not booked, not rung, not nothing. He was like, you just called me. I was like, I didn't just call you. My name is Samuel. And he was like, ha! And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, no, really. I have not a clue what you're talking about. Anyway, long story short, he managed to sit us down.
Did you find out who Samuel was?
No. He was. If we'd hung around until 7:45, we could have introduced ourselves to him. But he wasn't there until a bit later.
Right.
So that was a weird coincidence. He managed to sit us down. The waiter was very friendly.
Oh, best service I've had in London this year, probably last 6 months, maybe ever.
Really, really great. He was talking about the wind, which I like. A little bit of weather chat to break the ice. He was talking about how he grew up in southern Italy and he grew up near Capri and it was really windy there and it was like home. And I was like,
that's when I entered.
I was like, Mildmay Ward is no like Capri bar, right? We sat down. The restaurant was very empty.
At that point, yeah. It was 6 o'clock though.
Yeah, it was pretty early. And it was Tuesday night, to be fair.
And because of the transport around there, it takes anyone like an hour to get home to get
it's
there.
It's a bit of a weird transport link. Yeah. Although the 73 runs there from town.
Oh, well, let's all jump on the 73 then.
And the 341 that runs all the way up to Tottenham. To Ikea, actually.
Yeah, but my point is, the 73 hasn't even left Oxford Circus by that point, has it?
Yeah, true. Yeah, you're right. I can't really remember a lot of the decor. I just remember thinking it looked a bit like meh.
Generally yellow.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of child's drawings on the glass frontage of the pizza preparation area.
Yeah. Yeah. And then my favourite thing was the kitchen, sort of the curtain through to the back kitchen looked like it was made out of really long strands of pasta.
Good.
Even though it wasn't.
Good. Do you reckon it was?
Well, it certainly looked like that. If it wasn't, it was either something that used to be white and now isn't, which is kind of gross, but I don't think that is the case because it was pretty clean in there.
It did look like Big Miss Linguini, though, just fucking hanging on down.
And then it was the general sort of colour and lighting in there was, it really reminded me of my second year uni bedroom, which was yellow.
The lighting was like, you know when you put the night mode on your iPhone?
What, everything just goes the same colour?
And everything goes like sheet orange?
Yeah, it was
the colour
like
was
that.
A bit like that, yeah.
This sounds as if we're saying that's a bad thing.
Hey, dude, it wasn't a bad thing.
It wasn't a bad thing because so far, ambience, tick.
Uh-huh.
Lots of actual
welcoming family restaurant vibe.
Yeah, lots of Italian people
fucking
actually working
through
in
the
there.
Roof. Yeah.
Service and general meetings so far, fantastic.
Yeah. Genuinely fantastic.
Smelled good.
Smelled good. And
we don't talk about smell enough on this pod.
No, which is weird actually because it's kind of a key component.
Places you write in there, doesn't it? If you say it smell of X, then you can.
But I couldn't tell you what it smelled like.
Pizza.
I really liked when he asked us if we were ready to order, and he then said something like, "Oh, first you've got to turn your menu around."
Oh, right. This was my thing with him. Is it was as if he has this script that he uses with everyone, but his delivery was as if it was off the cuff.
It was great.
It was so clever.
It was really good.
And a few minutes more for the pizza. Or yes, are you ready to have
it? What would you recommend the pizza?
I would recommend first to turn them in, otherwise you can't see it.
I haven't seen the pizza.
He's like, here we go. It's the accent klaxon. He said. He was like, would you like to see the food? we were there staring at just the back of this little thinner menu that was sort of attached with a rubber band to the wider board menu, which was just extras, like the extra bits. Mm-hmm. And we were like, yeah, we're just having a look. He went, well, first you need to turn over the menu. Like that.
For me, best pizza are Cosacca with burrata, Siciliana, and Oivita. Those are the three vegetarian versions, the best we have. This one is very, very tasty and so simply. Meaty one, we have a salsiccia friarielli. The friarielli are bittery greens cooked in the olive oil, so they're very rich in olive oil, bittery. They grow only under the Vesuvio, the proper soil, mineral one, to be very tasty and bittery. This is one of our most characteristic pizza. and very simply one. I sometimes add a bit of nduja to make it spicy, as the nduja is spicy, not so spicy, 1 to 10, 7. To make it spicy, it's a fantastic combination because the nduja is sweet and the freirelli are bitter. So nice. Have a nice combination. If you want another meaty pizza, would be the nduja with salami. Otherwise, the salsiccia siciliana with the sausage or the capricciosa.
Simply so many.
No.
How big are they?
12 inch. If you want a simple pizza, margherita, but good, better quality of margherita, would be the bufalina with buffalo mozzarella instead of the normal mozzarella. Or the margherita, the Regina margherita, is a different tomato. I can't add anything else, otherwise your head is...
Huge menu.
Big menu.
It's not like a Francomanca where you get 7 pizzas to choose from and that's it. I think there were probably about 18 pizzas on there.
Yeah, there was a lot. I'm not going to make it nowadays, but there was a lot.
All completely customizable, because basically you could just go on the extras thing and just be like, I'll just have that, I'll have that, I'll have that.
Is that in the menu?
No, I think we're good. Quick question. Can we swap out the mozzarella for smoked mozzarella on this one?
The thing is that where you read smoked mozzarella, it doesn't mean it's 100% smoked mozzarella. There is always a bit of mozzarella, because the smoked one is a different consistency than normal mozzarella. So when there is smoked mozzarella, like Siciliana, that means there will be normal mozzarella and smoked together. There's a little percentage of smoked mozzarella. But if I do the, there has to be like this, yeah, because otherwise if you just smoke mozzarella, pizza get dry and there will be just little spot of smoked mozzarella.
Alright, so can we just add smoked mozzarella?
Exactly.
Okay. Which one?
Diavola.
We're gonna get this with the burrata.
Fantastic. Do you want to share it, the pizzas?
Yeah.
Do you want me to cut and put half and half?
Perfect.
Then we ordered some chips.
We had a few beers by this point.
Yeah. And then we ordered some chips.
Yeah, but it's relevant to the chips. We only want the chips because you've had the beers. You know, chips are very beery, aren't they?
Yeah. True. Very salty. Chips. And he was like, "Well, when we did the chips, when we wrote the menu and we wrote chips on there, there was a bit of a mistake because they're more like crisps."
Let me tell you, they are not exactly chips. You made a mistake to write chips because they are not exactly chips. They are crisps. We buy the whole potato. We slice under the slice machine.
That changes everything.
Yeah, they're handmade chips, crisps. We remove the starch and then we fry. Basically, the 5 hours work for just the crisps.
Interesting. So I'm intrigued.
They are not the sticky one. The stick one, you know. They are the crisps, or sliced potato.
Let's do it. Let's try it. Solid.
Yeah, I could have eaten them until morning.
Yeah. That is a revelation in my eyes.
Really? I was a bit like, I'm a bit disappointed they're not chips at first. And there wasn't like a big dollop of pecorino I could just dip into. But they were delightful.
Next time I'm going to make pasta, I'm going to Google how to make pecorino cream.
And I think they were a perfect pizza accompaniment because they weren't too dense. They weren't too heavy.
Yeah.
As a snack, because we were just snacking.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they were actual chips, it would have been an absolute disgrace because they would have been too stodgy.
Yeah. I'm so with you on those. That honestly, go there just for them.
The pizza was like, it was super light crust wise, like dough wise, not horrible and dense and a bit gross. And I feel like Francomanca doesn't make me feel that gross, but it's a bit more doughy. It wasn't very doughy, was it?
No,
it was quite fluffy.
There was a lot of toppings.
Yeah, there was actually.
Like, there was a lot of cheese and a lot of tomato, but it can't. The base didn't fall apart with that much moisture on it, and B, like, I didn't feel stodged up by the dough, so it meant all that cheese and tomato was fine.
Oh mate, it was really good.
It is Neapolitan style, right?
Yeah, it is Neapolitan style, but not in the, like, it wasn't like super puffy crust and like loads of leoparding and all that sort of shit. It was like a bit of a nice mid pot. It was really good. It was really, really, really good pizza. It was delightful.
Actually, a lot of pizza, especially in London, but also everywhere, I find now, like, especially when you have sort of brewery type places that are doing like sourdough pizzas or Neapolitan style pizza, it's hard to make a really bad one, and they're all relatively indistinguishable. But this Oy Vita did have something about it that made it different.
Yeah, it stood out definitely. It felt very like, I don't know what this means exactly, but like, it felt very real.
Like, it was like home. It was like you'd made it yourself and you put too much toppings on it.
Yeah, and it felt like it wasn't like a hipster kind of pizza joint where there's like weird flavours on it or weird ingredients, whatever. And it didn't feel like it was like this. You know, when things go so far the other way and they're obviously trying to be like the big crust guys or the fucking minimal toppings.
Which sometimes I'm all for.
Yeah.
But as a staple.
There was a lack of pretentiousness about it.
Yeah.
I was good.
I'm considering moving closer to Newington Green to be able to get it in the delivery radius.
Oh, we could get it now.
I did find out that the studio is in the delivery
room. Is it?
Yeah.
Hack. dangerous hack.
Yeah.
Oivita, Newington Green Road, northeast London?
Yeah, northeast. Let's say northeast, because then it's not just, it's not within, it probably is within the 1 mile radius that we never leave, isn't it?
Almost certainly.
Well, you leave it now, because you go out to
I'm fucking, I'm miles away.
It was 25 quid a head for a beer, two customised pizzas with premium ingredients.
Yeah.
And the crisps.
Yeah. Pizzas range from like $7.95 for the basic one, basically.
Yeah.
And then I think they go up to like 12, 13 quid.
Yeah, easily you could go there and spend a tenner.
12-inch pizzas.
Yeah.
Which I thought were a bit generous, 12 inches, because they felt a bit bigger than that.
It's because it was us, bro.
Would heavily recommend.
Yeah.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah, I really, really would. If you live in the area. Yeah. Or, well, if you don't live in the area, just allow an extra half an hour to get there.
Exactly. Thank you for listening to Set Meals. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter at Set Meals Podcast.
Oh, that's my bit.
All right. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter
at Set Meals Podcast.
We will be back next week for the final episode of Set Meals Season 3. Bye.
See ya.
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favorite shows, and this is one we think you're gonna love.
An Arm and a Leg is a show about the cost of healthcare and how we can learn to survive it. In the middle of a pandemic, that is a skill we all need. Lesson number one, be persistent.
I just annoy the tar out of them.
Our next instructor, Steve from HR. People where he works bring him their weird medical bills, and if he sees anything off, he goes to battle.
I am a bulldog on this stuff.
I'm not going to lie. We are not going to win them all. But we don't have to lose them all either. An arm and a leg.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the U.S. and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.